Excellent.
Gonna say I can't speak in sign language. I only know the bad words.
Yep, we're not gonna have you do that.
I know the really basic, more, please, sorry, really important ones.
Yeah, we're not gonna do it. We're not doing any of that. So, all right. Welcome to the Engaged Family Gaming Podcast. My name is Stevie Dutzman. I am your host, as always, and I'm joined by some of my very best friends in the whole wide world to talk about all of the important news for video games and board games for families. This is episode 298, which means a month from now, we will be celebrating episode 300, which is absolutely bananas. It's absolutely crazy. So y'all will notice again, much like last time, we only have a Mighty Four. Amanda is in Vegas at the developers conference. She's at GTC. She's at DICE. She's doing all sorts of important work stuff. She sends her best. She will be back next time, I assume. It's going to be a busy year for her, I'm sure, being that she has a quote unquote big kid job now. So, but you know, we are smaller, but we are still mighty. So here we go. I already introduced myself to my. Is it right? I think it's right. Is the man, the myth, the legend, the man behind the curtain, John Tomlinson. Sir, how are you?
I am loaded for Steam, so.
Yeah, you're getting ready. You're getting ready for that Steam Deck. You were asking about that on the
community. I pulled the trigger. I thank for everybody's input. I went with the 64 gig because I looked online. And I'm pretty confident I'll be able to replace the internal memory and video card display when it's time. So
are they easily accessible now? Can you just go on and order one and have it delivered to you?
Yeah. Yep. Yes, they are.
It's not bad.
And so now, I don't know if Jesse's watching, but get ready, Jesse, because you got a bill coming.
Oh, I don't need one. I like to play my games for longer than an hour and a half at a time.
Shots fired. Speaking of Captain Hot Takes, we've got Jeff Walker, the man. He needs hot takes because he is from the frozen north. Jeff Walker, how are you, sir?
Good. Speaking of being from the frozen north, they already canceled school for tomorrow.
Wow.
Nice. Lucky.
Wow.
Nine inches of snow. Yay.
Oh, my word.
So,
which means we'll probably get a dusting.
We had a dusting today.
Yeah, we definitely did have a dusting today. Jeff and I are just coming off of a big Elimination Chamber weekend. So now we're full on in WrestleMania season. Jeff, how do you feel? Are you as excited as I am to just be in WrestleMania season? Because this is one of my favorite times of the year.
I am excited. I am really worried for Cody Rhodes and the fans not accepting him now with how hot Sami Zayn has been, but we will see where this goes.
We are going to see. I don't think anybody saw this one coming. We're speaking words in English, but Linda is like, I don't understand. But Cody
I thought
Rhodes
Cody left.
He did, and then he came back. And then he hurt himself working out, and then he came back, and it's a whole thing. I think Linda can agree, though. Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn absolutely sound like professional wrestlers' names. Like, if you think like, just names that sound like pro wrestlers, Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn are, like, the dudes that sound like that. So
it sure does.
They're pro wrestlers. It's fine. It's going to be – it's great. This is just a reminiscing on EFG shows past where while we waited for everyone to log into the Facebook Live, Jeff and I would just talk about wrestling. not going to do that to everybody else here. Last but not least, Linda, I spent like all weekend with you.
It's true. It was wonderful. Glorious gameplay.
Yes. And we're going to talk more about that, later on in the show, but everybody welcome to the show. The Mistress of Magnificence, otherwise known as Mom, Linda Roble. Linda, how are you? It's been so long.
It's been ages since we've talked. I'm doing great, getting y'all geared up for back to school since we had our long weekend. So I will have my students again tomorrow. No snow day for us.
Yeah, no snow day for us. That was today. So when last we met, last time on the EFG podcast, we were recording the day that they announced a Nintendo Direct to happen the next day, basically. Or, you know, give or take a day or so. But, like, we knew a Nintendo Direct was coming, and but there was nothing to really talk about because, you know, it hadn't happened yet. Well, now there has been a Nintendo Direct, so we're going to go over some other stuff. We're going to talk about the highlights, because I think all of us have some opinions.
The same thing kind of happened today, too, because they announced a Pokemon Direct for next week.
They really did. They announced a Pokemon Direct and a Sony PlayStation State of Play. So we'll probably, that's great. We'll have more news. What's good is we are, the year of video games has begun. So hopefully we will start to have more news that we can talk about, react to, etc. as we go. And that's always exciting. But before we talk about, you know, just going through our highlights and opinions about the Nintendo Direct, I did want to talk about the games that we've played, specifically our video game and board game of the week. And I want to start with our board game of the week, which is the exact same as what we talked about last time. Only last time it was kind of in theory. We had it in hand. I had unboxed it. But now Linda and I have spent a bunch of time playing it. And so now we can actually report on it. We've got like a first look video up on our TikTok. Linda and I actually, for the first time ever, recorded a TikTok together. Well, maybe not the first time ever, but this is our first review together on a TikTok. It was awkward as hell, but we made it work. We did not
dance. No, we were boring. We just stood there and talked. We were very boring. We got to get our dance on.
That's
how you go viral.
You know what?
You're right.
You know what? I'll take your advice, or I'll take your advice under advisement, and we can decide that later. But we got to talk about Marvel Age of Heroes, because it was really good. Linda, I talked a lot on the review. You'd share with me what your thoughts are.
Well, it's interesting because it's a property that's not something that I hold near and dear the way you do. But I still really, really enjoyed the game. So Marvel Age of Heroes is X-Men themed. And as I joked on the review, and I was joking as we were playing it, if the characters were not in the movies, I don't know them. I am familiar with, I've watched, I think, all the X-Men movies that have been popular as of late. But if they're not in the movies, I'm not familiar with them. It's not a property that I really got into ever as a kid. It was not in my wheelhouse. That said, this also is a game that is much crunchier, much meatier, much heavier than what I typically go to play. Our play time for the full playthrough we did was over 2 hours. Wow. And so it was, you know, I think I could see us as we were getting more proficient with it going quicker, but I don't see this game taking much less than 90 minutes, unless it's maybe two players and you're both going really, really quick. I mean, it was a fun time. It went very quickly, but there was a lot to manage. There were a lot of fiddly bits. But even though it had the fiddly bits and there was a lot to it, we really enjoyed it. And we're really enjoying like kind of the process of defeating the bad guys and advancing. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I agree with everything Linda said. It took me off guard too, by how long the games were. And so to give some very quick hits, it's a worker placement game designed by the same guy that did Lords of Waterdeep, which is...
Oh, I love that game.
So it's very... You know, I saw a lot of those influences while playing it. The idea is you play as a pair of X-Men. So you're playing... So Cyclops and Jean Grey, Wolverine and Jubilee, Storm and Forge, which is a very deep cut.
Oh, wow. Forge?
Yeah. And, you know, Rogue and Gambit, obviously. And so the idea is you play as a team of heroes. And you spend the first part of every round placing your, you know, hero pawns at places during in the X-Mansion. And then you go on missions from the X-Jet to go fight classic X-Men villains. And there's multiple different game modes. There's a classic one. There's one where you're fighting...
Did you just call it the X-Jet?
They called it the X-Jet on the freaking... They called it the X-Jet on...
It's a Quinjet.
No, the Quinjet.
They called it the X-Jet on the board. That's what it has written.
Quinjet is the Quinjet Agent is... Shield.
No, Quinjet is Avengers stuff.
Avengers, okay.
And Shield and stuff. No, it's the X-Jet. It's the Blackbird is what they call it. But it says the X-Jet on the board, We actually had this discussion during the game.
We did.
I just got nerd angry.
Yeah, I mean, it's the X-Jet. And then there's a game mode where you fight Apocalypse and the Four Horsemen. There's a Fall of the Mutants that is all about Magneto expressing his influence over different X-Men and, you know, having them turn heel and be villains, which happens in the comics because everybody jumps sides. Really cool. Lots of deep cuts, and the flavor of the different heroes is, just it's all there, and it's very, very cool. I liked it a lot. I can't wait.
As someone that doesn't know a lot of these characters, it was so fun. We'd flip a card and it would be a new character, and Steve would react and be like, oh, that makes so much sense for that character. And I had no idea. It didn't have any meaning to me, but it's clearly someone that knows the property and loves the characters. There's so many layers beyond. But someone like me that doesn't know all the characters can still enjoy the game. You don't need to know the backstories to appreciate the different powers, but it adds that layer and depth for those that do.
And this was from Kickstarter, right?
No, this game actually was from WizKids.
Okay, because I looked on Amazon. It's not on Amazon yet.
It's not available yet.
It comes out
in March. So we were given and for sake of full disclosure, we were sent a copy for review from WizKids.
Awesome.
And they sent us another Marvel game that we're going to talk about a bunch next month, which is Marvel's Damage Control, which is a deck building game about we'll talk about it tomorrow or in the next couple weeks. But so this was sent to us. It's a little on the expensive side. It's going to be between $60 and $70. But there's a lot of stuff in there, lots of cards. The board is busy but cool. My favorite part of this from a design perspective is the really awesome watercolor art. And so if anybody that goes and looks up Age of Heroes on Board Game Geek or online, or just goes and looks at our looks at the cover.
Look at our Instagram.
Or on the Instagram, you'll see this really awesome watercolor art showcasing the heroes, the villains, etc. Looks so cool. I would say if you are an X-Men fan, and you like board games, this absolutely needs to be on your radar, unless you are absolutely opposed to Euro-style worker placement games. If you're imagining this to be a cooperative game, and that's kind of the game you want to play with the X-Men, this is not the game for you. This is a crunchy Euro-style worker placement game. You're not cooperating with each other at all. This is very competitive, very contentious. There are some moves that you can make where you really do mess with your opponents.
You definitely took advantage of those as many times as you could. And I definitely did take advantage of that. It was hilarious.
I definitely took
every time.
Of that. Every single time. And honestly, for longtime fans of the X-Men, that is not uncommon. That group is not always simpatico, you know what I mean? So, that's Marvel Age of Heroes. Huge fan. And that's coming out next month.
You sold me. I want it.
Yeah, I think you'll like it, dude.
My only question, does Kitty Pryde show up? She's my favorite.
Kitty Pryde is one of the characters.
One of the characters.
Kitty Pryde and Lockheed are one of the pairs.
Oh, and Lockheed. Oh, that's...
Because it's always pairs.
There's one solo.
Oh, there's one magic solo. Magic is all by herself. But that's because
she doesn't even work with Colossus, her brother.
No, because Colossus is actually one of the cards. He's and part of that is because Colossus is one of the cards in the base game. Colossus is one of the guys that you can team up with. Because you do team ups with different superheroes to do damage to bad guys, and Colossus is one of the guys that you team up with. But during the Fall of the Mutants plotline, Colossus is a bad guy. Which, famously, Colossus did join up with Magneto during the plotline.
Everyone's joined up with Magneto. There's a story. At one point, Magneto was in charge of Xavier's school while Xavier was in space.
Listen, I'm not... That is not... I am not saying you are wrong. I'm just saying that's why Colossus is not one of the hero cards.
He'd always put on his dad voice when the New Mutants got out of line.
That is his jam. So that's what's happening there. And again, you know, Colossus, one of my favorite heroes. Loved seeing him out there. I was surprised that he wasn't on one of the hero cards initially, but then it made sense once I saw him, you know, doing his stuff within the game. It makes sense. And his team up power, I'm not going to explain it within, you know, the podcast, but his team up power makes quite a bit of sense when you think about what he is and how powerful it is. It makes total sense.
I mean, that's exciting that Kitty Pryde, because I'll be honest, I didn't know who Kitty Pryde was until I decided one time to get Marvel Unlimited and just start reading chronologically through the comics. And before that, the Beast was always my favorite. But after reading the comics, I got up until like the mid to late 80s. Kitty Pryde has become probably my favorite X-Men. Her character is so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And she gets a place of honor as one of the hero pairings with Lockheed. So that's Marvel Age of Heroes. Again, you know, comes out next month. Very excited. And thank you to WizKids for sending it over to us for review. Now, we're going to go over some of the news later. But one of the games that was announced as part of the Nintendo Direct and released was Metroid Prime Remastered, which I can tell you, they announced it. I told the general, and she expressed her disdain mildly. But there was no general to stop you, Tomlinson. And you've been playing it. Tomlinson, tell me, how long did you wait before you bought it?
So I waited a little over 24 hours. The reason being, and this is kind of like why I hesitated with the Switch in the beginning, it's just like, a lot of the stuff they give us are kind of half measures, but like a little bit over half. Like, there's no reason over the 5 years that we've had the Switch that they couldn't remaster all three of them in one package for $40 to $60. But like, only having the one was my big hesitation. And just, until I played it, I still wasn't completely sold. But the controls are fantastic. Like, the most solid controls of anything that I've played that's a remastered in a while, except for the Resident Evil games. Like, and comparatively to the GoldenEye remaster, which was only a port, but still, they could have updated those controls. It feels like a brand new game with some, you know, not 100% HD graphics, but pretty damn good graphics. So
you're happy with your purchase? That was a whole lot to get to. So you're happy or no?
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with $40 for that. You know, I paid off a lot of credit cards this month, so that was one of my little presents to myself. But I'm okay with dropping $40 for Nintendo, because I know they'll remaster the other two, hopefully together, and then finally make the fourth one.
All right. Okay.
So is this one available only digital, or physical copy is going to be out in the wild?
It's physical came out 3 days later.
I think physical came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Physical. So no, I thought it was like the day after Valentine's Day.
Okay. I don't know.
I know it's out now.
But it's a mystery to the universe, and no one will ever know.
You can get the physical now.
Physical is out now. It's out.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way they get it,
we recorded 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So it is. So what ended up happening, Linda, is they shadow dropped it. So they became, you know, kind of like Hi-Fi Rush, you know, a month ago. Basically, they announced it and said, and you can buy it digitally later on today. And then the physical version was delayed, which had not been done before.
Interesting. The reason I'm asking is I have a Metroid fan in my house. And he has not asked for it yet. And so I was looking up on to see if, you know, see its status on Amazon and the digital code you can get, but at this moment you can't get the physical copy via Amazon, at least. I did not look at any other sources.
The physical is released, but I don't know how widely available it is.
When I just Googled it, the first thing that popped up on Google was GameStop.
Yeah, I mean, it's around. Metroid Prime is different than the Metroid games that your son has played. And the big difference here is that Metroid Prime is more or less a first-person shooter. There were some folks that had some... There were some, in the past, when it was on GameCube, arguments about whether or not it was a shooter, because the shooting mechanics are not the same as other shooters. It kind of does its own thing. But now you have twin stick controls. It plays just like any other first-person shooter on the market, so now it's inarguable. So it's not like the side-scrolling stuff that he is used to and has played.
Gotcha.
So,
that's good to know.
You know, so if he I don't know, has he played any first-person shooters?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I would compare it to, like, almost Portal shooting. Like, did you play Portal...
That face is the answer is no.
Yeah.
Did I watch play of? Maybe.
You should play a Portal. Portal's a video game that you would get behind, where the shooting isn't malicious shooting; it's puzzle solving.
And you can also get it on the Switch. So
yep,
there you go.
Well, let's put that in a we'll put a pin in put that, that in talk the about pin. That. So that's I do not have Metroid Prime Remastered yet. Kind of saving my saving my pennies for Octopath Traveler 2, which is coming soon. And we'll talk about that probably in the next couple of weeks. But another thing they did at the Nintendo Direct, and again, we'll talk about some of the news later, is they announced that Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games were brought to the Nintendo Switch Online. Jeff, you were reliving your Game Boy Color glory days this past couple of weeks, right?
I was. I have played on the Game Boy. I played Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. And let me tell you, that game is a lot harder than I remember it being when I was a kid. Mario is very floaty during that game, but I beat it. I got all 6 coins, and fun fact, it is the first appearance of Wario. He is the main villain in that game, and you take him down at the end. But it was fun playing through the game. It took me about an hour to get through it. Nice playing a simple game. And then the other game I decided to try out was WarioWare. Mega Micro Games. Because I love the WarioWare series. The last one was kind of disappointing. I didn't care for the Switch version. But this game was just so nostalgic. Games that I... Like, I saw the games like, oh, I know what to do here. And, I don't know, Linda, have you ever seen the WarioWare series?
No.
So the WarioWare...
We'll have to show you now that
it's Mega Micro Games. So there's over 200 mini games in this game collection, but each of them only lasts 5 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And they only use the direction and one button. And like one of the directions, you have a finger going back and forth and you had to hit the button so it goes up the nose.
it's weird, but it's fun.
Sounds like it.
And I mean, I'm surprised you didn't give a shot at the Minish Cap. Is that not...
That is a game I have not played before. It is on my list to play, but I'm already playing some longer games, and so I also have a 12-hour train ride with my family coming up at the end of March.
Okay.
So
you'll have some time.
So I'll have some time to ignore them.
Wow.
No. There's some time to wrangle your children.
All right. So those are some of the games we've been playing. Lots of good stuff coming out. I mean, it's video game season is now, and it's not going to stop. Really, we don't know everything coming out this year, but really there is pretty much another. There's a good release, a big release every month, if not more than one. So we will have plenty to talk about as the year goes by, and that's not including the That's not including all the wild board games that are coming out.
People always say, like, oh, what's Nintendo going to do this year? They have nothing. The Nintendo is just like, here, hold my non-alcoholic beverage.
Yep. Yeah.
Hold my soda.
Yeah, last year Nintendo had a quote-unquote light year. And they still had a lot of really great stuff. So, And frankly, if all they came out with was Tears of the Kingdom, it would be enough. But guess what, everybody? It's not all they're coming out with. So I think they're going to be okay.
It's
true. So to talk about some of the news. Number one, most important video game news ever, I think. Amanda wrote a book. She's not here, so we can't do the whole bit. But Amanda wrote a book. We'll put a link in the show notes when the podcast is published. But she wrote a book about the way kids play games and what that means to them, and what we as parents need to know about it. It's very useful information. It's pretty quick, nice little read. And she's already working on like three other versions of that book, because it's going to be a whole series. Other things, we made a magazine.
Yay!
That is. that's the newest kind of addition to this little bit. Oh, Mega Mom. Welcome to the show, Mega Mom. Mega Mom has read the book, and I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to share a link in the chat, and that is to our magazine, which is now hosted on the Engage Family Gaming website. Turns out, not as hard to host PDFs as I thought it was going to be. So I just went and did it. This is our kind of winter 2023 issue. It goes over our games of the year for 2022 and talks about our most anticipated games of 2023. And Mega Mom, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you as always. This is our magazine is a new, it's one of our new, I'm referring to it as like a premium publication. This is something we put a lot of effort into. We would absolutely love if everyone would go give it a read, download it, and share it with your friends. And because it is, like I said, we put a lot of work into it, and the goal is to grow it and add more features and add more segments and interviews and columns, etc., and just have it grow every issue. So absolutely, everybody take a look. And if you want to get it automatically sent to you, just go to any article on EngageFamilyGaming.com and wait 10 seconds. You get a sign-up form. and sign up, you get that. But not only do you get that, but you get our newsletter that went out today. Today's Tuesday, right? Our newsletter went out today. And we do that every month. And the newsletter gives some quick hits, some fun facts, some dad jokes. It's a whole thing. Also designed by the same person, Becky. So that is really cool. And you get all that sent right to you as it is published, no extra cost. And it's really good quality content. Speaking of good quality content, how about an announcement? And I've started talking about it on social channels over the last couple of days / weeks. And that is that Engage Family Gaming is going to have our very own live play Dungeons & Dragons game. Our first episode is going to go live on March 13th. I've been saying 14th. I had to fix it because 14th is Tuesday. It's going to be Monday nights, every other Monday, starting March 13th. I will be the Dungeon Master. We have a whole bunch of great players, Linda, Amanda, my brother, but also Noob Mama from internet fame, the webcomic artist, is going to join us, and I think it's going to be a wild time. The big difference here is most live plays on the internet are for grownups, Critical Role, etc., all for adults. So our goal, we're making content that is for kids, or at the very least for families. So the language is not going to be bad. It's going to be more Saturday morning cartoons than Game of Thrones. So if that sounds like something that's interesting to you, make sure you tune in starting March 13th, every other Monday. And we'll talk more about that. I actually shared the world map today in the Engage Family Gaming community. So there is that.
It looks so cool. I'm so excited.
Turns out it was pointed out to me that I forgot to name oceans and seas when I made that map.
Oh.
And this is a nautical campaign because y'all live by the ocean. So it is very clear that it would be common knowledge to you what the ocean that your city is next to would be called. And I didn't you yet. So I have to fix the map.
Those small details.
You know, those little details, like the name of the giant body of water that dominates your entire lives. What are you going to do?
Give it a name.
Yeah, give it a name. That's what I'm going to do. So we will have all that information out. And this is another piece of really exciting premium content that we are working on and hoping people will tune in for.
It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hope so. All right. Now to the real news. Nintendo had a, because everything else is just kind of self-serving news. Nintendo had a Direct. They showed a lot of stuff. Let's just kind of, before we get into specific stuff, and we can kind of fill in the blanks there, let's go through, Jeff, we'll start with you. What was the best thing that they announced?
Hold on, I'm going through a...
From your perspective, what was the thing that made you the happiest?
From my perspective, honestly, probably Baten Kaito's 1 and 2 remaster.
Wow. That's a deep cut. That is a deep cut. So tell us what Baten Kaito's is.
So Baten Kaito's, however you pronounce it, is a RPG. But the difference in the battle system with the games, and I remember playing the first game. I borrowed it from a friend. I never played the second game, which is actually a prequel, I believe. Your fighting style is you have a deck of cards, and so you give yourself a hand. You can only do whatever is in like your hand, and then you draw new cards each turn. So, it's a game from the GameCube era that people have been just asking for them to remake it, and they finally did.
Yeah, I saw the internet kind of blow up. There were a lot of people really excited about that one, which is awesome. I don't think John's very excited. He just had to do like a weird like spin to like get his head screwed back on straight.
He's taking a sensory break.
I'm missing a Lego piece. I don't know where I put it.
How can you miss a Lego piece in Lego Central? But so it is. I will admit I was very surprised when they announced it. But I actually have a really interesting story for that. Why I think I end up needing to play these games. When I, at a place I used to work, there was a guy that I used to work with who has since passed. And there was one day I went to GameStop and I bought a bunch of used GameCube games. This is a long time.
Before they got stupid expensive.
And one of the things, and because this is, the Wii had come out, and I bought a bunch of used games to play on my Wii, which could play GameCube games. And this is in the same batch. I bought like Beautiful Joe 1, 2, and 3. And like I spent a lot of money on GameCube games. And one of the, and I was like, man. And so I went through and listed all these games. It was like NBA Street and all this stuff. And then I was like, and then Baten Kaito. And so what he would do, he just laughed so hard at how dumb the name of that game is. And he's like, wow, you get real excited about all this stuff, and then this Baten Kaito's. And then every once in a while, he would just spin his chair around. This is for months. And he would just be like, so, are you playing any of that Baten Kaito? And then he would deliberately mispronounce it. And so, like, it's almost like in his honor, I feel like I need to buy it and then just mispronounce it constantly. Just to say. I don't know if I actually will, but it definitely made me think of that guy. Which was, you know, it was great. It was a great moment for me. I miss that dude a lot. That was the big thing, you know.
And one other thing real quick. Did anyone have a sequel to Fantasy Life on their bingo card for this Direct?
Nah, man.
That was another one. That one was out of nowhere.
For this Direct, no. But absolutely, Fantasy Life is one of those games that I 100% believe was going to happen. Linda, Fantasy Life is like Animal Crossing but it has a job, but it has a job system. So like you can be a blacksmith, or you can make yourself a hunter or a leather worker or a chef, and you switch these jobs and level them up individually, and then it help you develop your town, etc.
Neat.
And the first one was on 3DS and was well loved. Yes. So it doesn't surprise me that they would make a follow up for the Switch. I mean, it's the Switch.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, a lot's coming to it. There's one thing that was in the direct that is going to be coming to our house next week, because my youngest heard about it and was begging me to cash in Christmas money.
Yeah.
So the game he wants and that will be coming once the Amazons deliver is Kirby Return to Dreamland Deluxe.
Yeah.
He is a ginormous Kirby fan. And as soon as he saw a new one and the fact that it's coming out this month was, you know, so exciting for him. So,
I mean, listen, Kirby's great.
We got the physical copy coming. I know, he's so funny.
Kirby's great. Can't hate on that. So, John, what about you? What was the big announcement for you out of this Nintendo Direct? Aside from Metroid Prime Remastered, which you are lukewarm on somehow, being lukewarm on like owning a remake of a arguable masterpiece.
Yeah, yeah. It's well, the other problem with Metroid is I did bite the bullet and spend $20 last year on the Wii trilogy digitally, so like that was kind of annoying. But anyway,
I have a physical version of the Wii trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, almost bought that, but Jeff, that was cost prevent.
I mean, prevented. I can't reach it, but it's over there.
But so, I would say, realistically, the handheld games being finally brought over to Switch, it's something that was rumored for so long that, like, finally just out of the blue getting it without any more rumors of it. Like there was no one that had that on their bingo card this year. So it was kind of just, like, out of the blue drop.
I mean, I don't think there's no one. I think it's,
I mean, rumors, no one with like, rumors kept like it that, on there.
Considering how heavily rumored it was, I think
it's
pretty safe. You know, I'll tell you what, for me, I'm going to say the easy one. You guys set me up perfectly. The fact that they confirmed the release date for Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
I thought it was already confirmed before that.
Okay.
They've reconfirmed it.
Leading up to this thing, and I remember
you believed it was going to be delayed.
I thought it was going to be delayed until the holiday. So the day before the Nintendo Direct was announced. So I think it was announced on a Tuesday. The timeline doesn't matter. Like either the day of or the day before it was announced, the Nintendo Direct was announced. I remember my oldest coming into the house and being like, "Dad, they're going to delay Zelda, aren't they?" And I was like, "You know what, man? Yeah, I think they are. I think they're going to delay Zelda." And he was like, "Man, you're probably right." And so this house was convinced that when they showed us Tears of the Kingdom stuff at the end of that trailer, it was going to say 11/3/2023 or September 15th or just something, not May 12th. The fact that in February of 2023, they said that the release date was May 12th. And not only was it in the trailer, but it was in the pre-orders and it was on the press release that they sent out, etc. To me, that is the real official confirmation that not only is that the day, but that they're going to hit it. Or that if they do delay it, it might be a couple of weeks, not 6 months, a year, etc. Which means sometime before this summer, you know what I mean? Like, before this summer, we're going to be playing Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Which is just, I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought it was going to be a holiday game. Am I alone here? Did you guys actually think it was coming out?
I thought they were going to squeak by and do it. I thought, like, at this point, it's too late to delay.
It's never too late for Nintendo.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Typically, though, Nintendo, if they give you a date, like exact date. They've been very good at hitting that. Like, the last game that we had hit delays was probably Animal Crossing, but they never gave an exact date until that March release date.
I mean, I think you're probably right, but I was still happy to see the day. You know, it also...
Well, it's like, one of those, it's not a guarantee until it's actually out.
Yeah, I also...
Even at the 11th hour.
Yeah, I'm still... Yeah. I still am cynical on this one, which is sad, but also, like, I'm cynical because I don't care. And it's not that I, like, don't want to play it. But, like, if they delay it, they delay it, right? Like, if it gets pushed until September or something, it would be a bummer. But, like, I'm not, like, staking my personality on this game being out before summertime. That'd be fine. It means that I'd have more time to play Street Fighter VI. So, like, you know, like, and I have to get good at Street Fighter VI. So, like, I have to be ready. Because we've talked about this. I have to get good at
it. Good luck with that.
Wow. Are you entering Evo?
No. You know what? You know what? Let's be real.
Get good is beating his kids.
Getting good is beating my kids. Wait, let's be honest. Linda, tell me that you don't think it would be hilarious if we did like a whole bunch of EFG content around me playing Street Fighter and then entering Evo in Vegas. Like going to Vegas, entering the World Fighting Game Championships. Getting absolutely demolished in round one. But I would still have a blast because then I could just watch all the rest of the games. Like, That's
true.
I'd do a live podcast from Vegas.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? And then, honestly, then tax write-off, right? You know, like, let's just be real. It's kind of like our eventual corporate meeting in Nintendo World.
Yes.
You know?
One day.
Think of the content. One day. So, anyway... That was my favorite announcement. Just getting that confirmation, seeing more footage. Now I really want them to give me a direct where they show me what the heck is going on because now I'm very curious. Anyway, so let's go through. I'll go through the rest. We'll go through lightning fast. We'll go through some of the other announcements. I'll say it. If we want to talk about it, we can. And if we don't, then cool, we won't. Pikmin 4. What's the temperature on Pikmin 4?
The first Pikmin I've ever actually played and beaten was Pikmin 3 when it came to Switch. So it probably won't be a day one purchase for me, but I may get it eventually.
Okay.
It depends on what else I'm doing at that time. July is usually pretty light, and that could be my birthday present to myself.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fine. What about you, John?
It's one I may play, but like that's one I'll borrow from somebody and be like, you know, if I get around to it, like I said, with Switch in general, I'm not that much of a day one buyer anyway. So unless it's a Zelda or a Mario, so. Mm-hmm.
We got Mega Mom throwing so much hype out into the chat.
The trailer is very cute.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's Pikmin. Pikmin's adorable. Yeah. I mean, we know Mega Mom is hype about Tears of the Kingdom. Mega Mom, are you also a Pikmin person? Let me know in the chat. I want to hear what your thoughts are. So we know Pikmin 4 is coming July 21. Just so you know, Linda. Not 2023.
I was going to say, knowing Mega Mom, she's probably raised her own Pikmin.
She probably has. She's a recent Pikmin convert.
Pikmin is not big at our house yet.
In our Pokemon Snapshot Discord, Mega Mom has fought some MMA fights. we learned so much in that Discord about Mega Mom. It's great.
Mega Mom is... There's depth of character there, right? Like she just does a lot of stuff, and will never stop doing lots of stuff. A lot of thirst for adventure out of that one. We got more confirmation of more stuff coming to Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Those folks that really love them some Xenoblade Chronicles 3 enough to buy DLC for it. Boy, oh boy, do you have some crazy shenanigans coming toward the end of the day. Next is Samba de Amigo Party Central. Somebody tell me, I saw that and I was like, great. It's another rhythm game for me to be bad at. This is a Dreamcast game initially, right? Is that where Samba de Amigo came from?
Yes, and you could buy it, and it came with maracas.
Oh, cute.
shook the maracas. Yeah, and now you don't need maracas, you just shake the Joy-Con.
Yep, you shake the Joy-Con for like maracas. It's like a little, is this a monkey? Is Samba de Amigo?
Yeah,
is
that a monkey? I think he's a monkey.
Little cube-headed monkey playing some music. I mean, it looks cute. Listen, everybody loves a good party game sometimes. And rhythm games, they live or die. And sometimes they're amazing. So maybe some of those Dreamcast fans will come help it out. They spent like 20 minutes, it feels like, talking about Fashion Dreamer from XSEED Games, which, like, I hated on it for a few minutes. And I was like, wow, this is just like a silly fashion game. But, like, the longer that I watched it, I was not convinced that it would be for me, right? Like, this is not my jam. But you know what this feels like? This feels like if you were the kind of person that played Animal Crossing specifically so you could post screenshots of your outfits every day, this is the game for that person. Because literally, it's just it's fashioninfluencer.rpg is really what it is.
There's a whole load of these games. I think XSEED makes them all on the 3DS, and I didn't realize they existed until I started reading Nintendo Force, which is a bi-monthly magazine, and they always had a review of these games because they were always coming out.
Nintendo Force, Linda, otherwise known as Our Competition.
Ah.
We gotta do battle with Nintendo Force. We got a long way to go.
They have their magazines around here somewhere. I don't know where, though.
So, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Initially, I was like, this is trash, whatever. And then I opened my mind, because not every game needs to be for me. And that's the thing I need to remind myself of. But when I'm watching Directs, I really do try and get excited for myself. Megum, I'm saying, the oldest, and the two of them are interested in the fashion game. I think it makes perfect sense. You know, your oldest, I know, is into that stuff, and so that makes perfect sense. This is, like I said, there is an audience for this game. I bet you it's going to sell plenty of copies. Not to me, but I am but one man. So
you said plenty of copies. I definitely heard 20 copies.
No, I heard plenty, not 20. It will sell 10. It will sell literally tens of copies. No, I think it'll sell plenty.
So 20 copies.
20 copies.
And Megan Mamare says she has one, so 19 more people need to buy this game.
Exactly, and then sales expectations met. How about Dead Cells Return to Castlevania? I know Linda has not played Dead Cells.
Yeah.
Although, Linda, I'm going to tell you this. Your son who beat Hollow Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Because her youngest beat Hollow Knight, guys.
Really?
Multiple That's hardcore. Times That's point. Hardcore. And he beat Legend of Zelda on Master
I quit Hollow Knight because it was too hard.
Yo, this kid beat Legend of Zelda.
Remember, he also has time.
That is true.
That is true.
That makes a big difference.
But for real, no, it does. But like, there's a... Even with infinite time, you need to be a certain level of hardcore for this. So we're talking a kid that beat Hollow Knight and beat Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild on Master Mode, which is impressive. I don't care what anybody has to say. He needs to take a look at Dead Cells, because Dead Cells is...
I'll put it on this list.
Yeah, you should... Dead Cells, you should take a look at. Mega Mom in the chat saying Chevador and the Oldest are super hyped about Dead Cells Castlevania. They're doing a Dead Cells Castlevania crossover with all the music and stuff like that. This is the perfect match. Like, this is just a match made in heaven. Thomason, are you a Dead Cells guy?
I enjoy the look of these games. And this is kind of like a misconception you have of me. That I like platformers like this sort of thing.
I'm not misconceiving. That's why I asked.
Well, no. Like, you were like, oh, you would love Shovel Knight. And I bought Shovel Knight. I'm like, I am not good at this game.
Okay, I want to go ahead and say this. I think everyone needs to play Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight is, for me, we talked about this at the last EFGCon, where we talked about, like, games that were, like, on the bubble to come off the EFG Essentials list. And I looked at you guys and I said, Shovel Knight Treasure Trove will come off the EFG Essentials list when I die.
Yeah. But, I was gonna make the comparison. This is very much like Cadence of Hyrule. The Zelda branded what was that game?
Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Crypt of the Necrodancer. Yep. So like, I really like the fact that Nintendo is starting to willingly allow remixes of their stuff with other IP.
Well, this one isn't Nintendo. This would be Konami, who they're not doing.
Well, Konami, but yeah,
not doing anything with their IPs except make pachinko machines.
Yeah, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, Castlevania was born on Nintendo, so it's kind of like that kind of crossover. So I may pick it up, to check it out. But
music is worth it by itself. I think.
Absolutely. Because
Castlevania, the 8-bit Castlevania soundtrack, like, just slaps so hard. And I don't say the word slaps non-ironically very often because I am a 40-something-year-old man. But I mean it. Castlevania soundtrack is one of the best. Not quite as good as Mega Man. I gotta throw the respect out because Mega Mom is in the chat. And I have to show respect to Mega Man, which the Mega Man soundtrack, greater than Castlevania IMO. But running through some other details, we got some Tron games, we got a whole bunch of cop games, which was really weird. Wow, Mega Man was about to say the Castlevania music is better than Mega Man.
Wow.
Mega Man, I did not see that coming. But you know what? They're all, I mean, really, so much of that stuff is great. I mean, it's all matter of personal preference. So
don't tell your husband you said that.
I'm not saying nothing. I'm not getting involved in this Castlevania nope. B Mega Man music beef. Like, y'all can deal with that yourselves. I'm sure that they have a very healthy way to have this discussion. And it would be great. So we did get some more news about Splatoon 3. Is anybody else playing Splatoon 3 other than Linda's son and my son? Sounds like
apparently
a no. When this got announced, my middle son lost his mind. I think we were waiting for it. We wanted a little bit more information because this really didn't give us a lot. Oh, there we go. The Mega Man family. They're playing the Megas, as it were.
Oh, there we go.
This was not a lot of information. I really feel like, we've gotten more over the last, like, I'd say week or so. This stuff's coming out on Twitter and stuff like that. But, this was big news for the Splatoon 3 crowd.
Would it surprise you to tell you that I have never played one game of Splatoon?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Does that mean I've played more Splatoon than you?
Whoa.
Because they've actually thrown a controller at me and made me play.
So here's the thing about... I'm going to do real quickly my history with the Splatoon franchise. The games come out at the worst possible times of my life.
Okay.
Splatoon 1 came out. I just lost my job. I really had to think about which games I was buying.
That's
Splatoon
fair.
Splatoon 2, we just moved to Michigan, and I didn't have a Switch because we couldn't afford one because we were switching careers.
Okay.
And then Splatoon 3 last year, I just bought a way more expensive house than I was, so our mortgage payment, like, doubled.
Okay.
And you had to be a grown-up.
I had to be a grown-up. So Splatoon has literally come out at the worst possible times in my life.
Okay. I'll allow it.
Which is why I have never played it, and can't wait till Splatoon 4 comes out, because then something else will happen in my life.
Wonder what the life change will be there. You'll be running for president. That'll be it.
I'll be running for president. I have no time. I gotta run for president. As of July 17th, I can.
Oh, because you'll be old enough. How about that?
I'll be 35. I can finally...
Wow.
In my mid-30s.
Baby. Baby.
Oh, you're so young. Let's not talk about that.
I don't want to get into this because Amanda's not here. Normally, it's the two of you guys. So, how about this? Let's talk about Disney Illusion Island, which is quietly turning into one of my more anticipated games of the year. Tomlinson, you made a face. You don't like
that's the one I forgot about.
You don't like
as soon
these
as I saw
games.
It.
Tomlinson's like, I don't like these platform games, and then he loses his mind when I bring up the platform game. Carry
no,
defend
I lost,
yourself, sir.
So you could ask Season of the Sea Witch. I lost my mind because this is just Castle of Illusion as a four-player game. And I was like, this was one of the greatest... I believe I had it for Genesis. the greatest Genesis game where I got lost for hours in that game, but it was so cool. It's, there's so much, if you look very carefully at the moveset, all the characters are very floaty. And when I say floaty, that means like the jump is not a jump.
It's like a takeoff. It really is like a takeoff. Yeah, it is true. This is the new Mickey Mouse animated style that you see in a lot of their Disney shorts.
I like it.
With you, it's not my flavor.
I mean, listen,
they did Goofy wrong.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen. Okay, it's not for everyone. However, this has given me big Rayman Legends vibes.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And Rayman Legends is great. And Disney stuff, like when Disney does goofy stuff like this, I guess I did goofy wrong, but like when they do stuff like this, I'm a fan. This is a four-player co-op platformer. The co-op platformers need to be really floaty, right? Because that makes it a little bit more forgiving when you're dealing with four people jumping around. Could you imagine like a super tight precision platformer and like I'm playing with Linda? No disrespect to Linda, but like
none taken. It's fine.
Like, you know, it's one of those things. So this is coming out July 28th. I cannot wait to hear more about this game. Just because this feels like a really great co-op game for the summer. Like when we're making recommendations for like families to play when it's raining, you know, whatever. This feels like one of those games that will be a very easy recommend for the summer on the Switch. To go through some of the super fast stuff, Octopath Traveler 2, there's a demo. So if you were thinking about playing it, grab the demo. The progress carries over. Sea of Stars has a demo. That is a RPG from the people that made The Messenger, which was, up until our most recent update, which has not gone live yet, but will soon, is one of the, which was one of our EFG Essentials. That demo is also live on Switch and looks amazing. Omega Strikers is coming out in April. It's a 3v3 air hockey game with superpowers. Does anybody have opinions on that? Because that sounds awesome to me.
If you've ever seen me play the air hockey minigame in Mario Party, no, I'm not playing this game because I always hit the puck into my goal.
Are you bad at air hockey?
I'm bad at air hockey in real life and in video games.
All right, that's fair. Atrian Odyssey Origins, which is a remake and collection of a bunch of really hardcore RPGs, first-person role-playing games were originally released on the DS and the 3DS. Linda, this game is so hardcore. One of the features that they added for the remasters, this collection, is that it has an auto-mapping feature. You would go through the maze in first-person, and you'd have to use the stylus on the DS to mark what direction you went. Which means it was possible to map wrong and then get lost.
Oh no, that sounds really hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. I would have been terrible at it because I would have, you know, gotten lazy and, you know, whatever. It would have been bad. Now we finally have a release date for Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp. Originally, this was scheduled for release, I believe, last March.
Yes.
And then it was delayed with no release date. Because Nintendo did not want to put a game out about a prolonged ground war while there was a prolonged ground war taking place. And so they waited, and it just sat there. I think they just waited to try and, you know, have it not be kind of in the moment. You know, the war is obviously not done, and it is still, you know, an ongoing tragedy, but I think Nintendo just needed to get this game out. There are a lot of people asking for it, you know, whatever. So it's Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp. If you like the Advance Wars games, which were originally released on Game Boy Advance and DS, then this is those games repackaged. I'm actually looking forward to this. This is a game I am going to get, because I love me some tactical RPGs, and these are just super cartoony and silly. That's Advance Wars 1 and 2. We already talked about Kirby's Dream Land Deluxe, which is very, very soon.
Yeah, then you can't think. Like this Friday, I think, it's supposed to be released.
And Linda, I think you need to play it. That's your homework. You should play it. Because Kirby games are baby games, so you can play them.
Beginner games. Beginner.
Ouch.
Novice.
Ouch, novice game. Oh, come on. I'm just being silly.
I know. You're being sassy. It's fine.
Everybody here knows back. I love me some Kirby. And then the last two, the piece de resistance, was that they gave us the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games on Nintendo Switch Online. This was a really cool announcement, if for nothing else, just because a lot of these are games that have been kind of trapped on older systems. And I think a lot of us, the initial release of the games was great. But like the promise of more, like, for example, there were no Pokemon games on this.
No, they
initially
one is announced for the futures. So far one is announced.
Which Pokemon for the
Pokemon trading card game?
Yeah, the Pokemon trading card game. I'm talking about like mainline Pokemon games. Like, yeah,
no,
for me, I was like, this feels like Red, Blue, Yellow. And what were the ones on Game Boy Advance?
The ones they could release are Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, Silver, Crystal on the Game Boy, and then Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, Fire Red, Leaf Green on the Game Boy.
I knew my guy had me on that one. I am hopeful. I
feel bad because while we were doing the news section of the Pokemon Snapshot for the episode that just went live today, I forgot about Crystal, and I feel bad.
My hope is that at the Pokemon Direct, or at the Pokemon Presents, on Pokemon Day, that they announce some of those coming to Nintendo Switch Online. I am hopeful. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I'm hopeful. They shadow dropped Metroid Prime Remastered. They talked about that Baten Kaitos, I don't know how to pronounce it, 1 and 2 remaster. We got the Fantasy Life, a new Professor Layton game.
That's exciting.
I think the general loves her some Professor Layton. So a brand new Professor Layton. Linda, Professor Layton games are kind of anime style, but like that's not really relevant. They're puzzle games. You just kind of wander around, and it gives you a lot of like interesting logic puzzles and stuff like that. Like you could even get down with that. Oh, he's building something Lego while we're here. Was that a Bowser hand, sir? You can't show off a hand and not show us the full thing. That's. Oh my gosh! It's a Bowser. Oh, he's even got an animated face.
Wow.
It's pretty nuts.
Like, man, I had said I didn't want one of those, but I feel like maybe I have to change my mind on that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this one is pretty ridiculous.
Jeez, he moves. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow.
I want it so bad. I don't.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, Dracon. We got our boy Dracon in here. He's telling me I got to change my mind. I'm sure I'm going to get yelled at and guild about that later. Maybe I do got to change my mind. I don't know. We'll talk. Thomason and I will talk. I know I have like a growing list. Oh, we got Kai in here. Kai, one of the people that will be joining us in our live D&D campaign. I have a long list of crap that Tomlinson is slowly shopping for before I am hesitant to add more to it. I don't want to overwhelm the system. Let's see. And lastly, they showed us Tears of the Kingdom. Apparently, you can make vehicles.
Yep.
So we don't know.
That looked really cool. Like that. I'm at the point where I've seen enough. Give me my game.
Like, yeah.
It looks so cool.
I agree with you. I would like. I don't want any more story stuff. I don't want to see any more of the map.
Like, yeah, absolutely. No.
I just want to know, because I'm fairly confident that before Breath of the Wild came out, I knew what all the Sheikah Slate powers were. And that was.
Yeah.
I mean, there were enough previews coming out that.
I think I dodged enough at that point.
I want to know all the weapons. Yeah. One of my favorite things about Zelda is knowing what the weapons are. So for me, the Sheikah Slate powers are basically the weapons. And so I want to know that. And I also want them to tell me definitively, is there going to be weapon degradation or not?
Yeah.
I also want to know, are there going to be actual dungeons? Or are they doing the shrine thing again?
Well, that is another piece of information that would be pretty useful and pretty great. I don't know. Truthfully.
And are those dungeons in the clouds or on the ground?
I feel like the dungeons are prob- I feel like there's definitely going to be stuff. Well, I bet you the dungeons are going to be upstairs. But I am so excited for Tears of the Kingdom. Mega Mom said, "I love the shrines, but don't make me do 120 of them again." Mega Mom, I just want to throw this out there. No one made you do that.
Mm-hmm. How many Koroks are you at again, Mega Mom?
She can tell us. No one made you do 120. I mean, you decided to do that.
Yes.
That's, you know, she's 75 shy of the golden poop. Mm-hmm. That is impressive. Like, on a level that I can't even really...
Wow.
Like, 825. I'm sassy and... You know, it's all said with love, but like that is dedication to the craft. You know,
yeah, that's respect right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've been picking since release. You've been working on it. So anyway, that's all the stuff from the direct itself. How about my one of the big announcements that was done as part of like a partner montage sizzle reel was WSE Baseball Power Pros. Which was it looked like an arcade baseball game that was on sale for literally a dollar. And I had gold coins, so I bought it for 18 cents. And it is not an arcade baseball game. It's like a simulation baseball game.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's like The Show with like smiley face dudes. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, for a dollar... I'll give it a little bit of a thumbs up. It's not enough for me to like talk about it here. It's not going to make it to the EFG Essentials list, but for a buck, you know, for a game you could throw on your Switch, you know.
They also show Tales of Symphonia Remastered, which...
They did show that. They did show the Tales of Symphonia Remastered, which, gosh, was that game pretty. So that's it. That's the bulk of the news coming out of that Nintendo Direct. Lots of great stuff. Before this, a lot of folks were like, Nintendo doesn't have anything. Now the reality is Nintendo's got a lot. And really, they haven't shown us what's coming this fall. This really, the farthest out game was like July. And so we have to assume that they have something.
Any predictions? Nope. Anything you guys want to put on the table?
I do not. I do. I think they're going to have a Mario game this year.
Yeah, me too.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just gonna say they usually have some sort of Mario game every year, and I don't think we have a single one announced. So they have.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We got Drake on the chat saying he's calling for a Metroid game this year.
We already got one. What I would do is definitely there needs to be a Peach game. Like, now's the time.
They need Peach to make is a gonna Peach blow one that's not problematic.
That her superpowers aren't based around her emotions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there needs to be something.
Don't get me wrong, though. Super Princess Peach was a good game. It just...
It would not fly in 2023.
It would not fly.
Did so, not age well, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Linda, so just so...
I know with the emotion. That sounds like they need a... Serious rewrite.
Yeah,
like,
one of her power-ups was she got sad.
She got sad, she got angry, she got in love.
Yeah, it's time to rewrite those powers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think... Yeah. I'm hoping that we get a Princess Peach game that's based on Princess Peach from the Mario movie, because at one point... Because in the Mario movie, she's rocking around with Taylor a pole arm.
Yeah.
And y'all know I like pole arms.
Yep.
Nice.
Well, I mean, Linda, you know that I like pole arms.
Yes, I am well acquainted.
I also feel like we'll know more after the Pokemon Direct next week. I'm anticipating some Scarlet and Violet DLC.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a safe bet for sometime this summer or later in the year.
Possibly. I don't think it'll be this... Well, I don't know. Pokemon tends to release something every November.
So maybe a remaster or some kind?
Well, the next ones in the series are Black and White, or maybe even Let's Go Johto. I don't know if they actually want to do that. Or the follow-up to Arceus.
Mm. Yeah, well, we'll find out. It's going to be really interesting. And by the time we come back in 2 weeks for episode 299,
wow.
Both the Pokemon Presents and the Pokemon Presents and the State of Play for PlayStation will have taken place. So we'll be able to talk about that. So, guys, we did it.
Did it.
We made it through episode 298 of the Engaged Family Gaming Project. Oh, and we were joined by Bowser. I humbly request that he make appearance on future podcasts. If we can, you just
more than sure, welcome. Yeah,
make sure that you keep him near your desk somewhere.
I still have something else to build that's Nintendo related.
Oh, okay.
And
I have my tall neck over here.
Yeah, my tall neck over there.
I gotta give you a tall neck. I do. Very cool.
I've also seen some of the stuff coming out, so I can't spoil it. But
oh man, why you gotta do this to me?
He's putting out the teasers.
All right, everybody. Yep. So we did it. This has been episode 298. I hope you guys enjoyed listening as much as the four of us enjoyed recording it, which, spoiler alert, was a lot. So we're setting the bar very, very high. Keep your eyes on the Engage Family Gaming social media feeds across Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, etc., and reveal more and more information about our live play Dungeons & Dragons game. I will be sharing the player's guide that I am sharing with my players with the public this coming Sunday. That's the big drop. You're going to find out all the common knowledge about the world they'll be playing in, etc. They're going to have it a few days beforehand. They're working for me, so I'm going to give them a little bit of a heads up. But it gives me enough time to put the names of the bodies of water on the map, because I was informed that I screwed that up. So, everybody, have yourself a wonderful day. We will be back soon. And until next time, don't forget, get your family game on. We'll get you soon. We'll talk to you soon, everybody. Bye now.
Bye.
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 Music for the Engaged Family Gaming Podcast is Android Sock Hop by Kevin MacLeod, and audio production by Six Pack Nerds Productions.